is risen. God's sure word that serves as a firm foundation for our sermon today is the words of Mary to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." In the name of Him who loved us and shed His blood for us so that we might be priests and kings in His kingdom, to Him be all the glory and the power and the honor forever and ever. Amen. 523 years ago, our world changed. We learned about that change in grade school. Remember? I'll start it, you finish it. In 1492, you must have been good grade school students, when Christopher Columbus and his crew sailed past that point that was considered to be the end of the world, our world changed. Suddenly, maps had to be redrawn, and people were filled with a new hope that they could leave their sin-sick, trouble-filled old world behind them and go to a new world. Well, 2,000 years ago, more than just maps changed. 2,000 years ago, everything changed. 2,000 years ago, God's Holy Son set a human foot onto this sin-ruined world of ours. And from that moment on, a whole lot of changing took place. Suddenly, blind people were changed into seeing people. Deaf people were changed into hearing people. And even dead people were changed into living people. You better believe it. 2,000 years ago, everything changed. Well, but not for Mary. For Mary, early on that first Easter morning, nothing had changed. For Mary, death still seemingly held its grip on her teacher. In fact, do you remember Mary's first response to seeing the empty tomb? "They have taken my Lord away." Oh. But in just a few short minutes, she would recognize her once dead, but now living Lord and Savior. And so Jesus would change Mary from being a weeping woman into a witnessing woman, crying out to everyone, "I have seen the Lord." And from that moment in history on, Jesus made a whole lot of changes that pleased everybody. Well, maybe not everybody. In the year 303 AD, the Roman emperor at that time, a fellow by the name of Diocletian, looked around his empire and he saw a whole lot of changing taking place. He saw many of his subjects changing their faith from being in him as their God to people putting their faith in someone called Jesus of Nazareth. And so in his rage, Diocletian vowed that he would destroy every house of worship where the name of Jesus Christ is lifted high. So confident was Diocletian of his victory over the Christians that he had this huge triumphal column erected in Rome. And at the top of that column were these words, "The name of the Christians has been destroyed." But Diocletian didn't take into account one fantastic fact. Jesus changes everything. And in just 22 short years later, one of Diocletian's successors, a fellow by the name of Constantine, came to confess that great truth of the scriptures, namely, "There is no name given under heaven by which we must be saved. He is risen." You need another example of how Jesus changes everything? 100 years ago, the red flag with its hammer and sickle was raised all across Russia. Today, with atheistic communism in the toilet where it belongs, in Russia today, churches that had been changed into nightclubs and warehouses have been changed back into houses of worship where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted high. Today, on Easter Sunday, your brothers and sisters in Russia are absolutely free to greet one another with that great Easter cry of victory, Christos Voskres. No Russians here? Christ is risen. Do you need another example? 70 years ago, Adolf Hitler, dictator of Germany, stood proud and pompous before his goose-stepping stormtroopers. He gazed skyward at his all-invincible air corps, the Luftwaffe, and Hitler bragged. He bragged that his empire would last how many years? 1,000. But just 12 short years later, Hitler was dead by his own hand. His armies had all been defeated. And now, in a united Germany, Christians are free to proclaim, Der Herr ist auferstanden. Must be more Germans here than Russians. And in our world today, there is much that needs to be changed. Across our land today, on many of our college campuses, you will find courses offered for the specific purposes of questioning the tremendous truths of Scripture. All across our land today, you will find millions upon millions of Christians, people in general, lining up around the block to go to church? I don't think so. But they're going to worship. They're going to worship a God called the Powerball Lottery that they have faith in is going to lift them higher than heaven itself. In our politically powerful world today, many of our hopeful leaders base their actions not on what is right or what is wrong, but on what they can get away with. In our spiritually schizophrenic world today, many people mourn the death of the polar ice cap, but ignore the murder of millions of unborn children. Is it any wonder that our children, who are being taught that life is a choice, are then using that choice to murder one another on school grounds? You see, any world that refuses to recognize the lordship of our once dead but now living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a world that's going to live for the here and for the now. And so in our world today, power is the ultimate objective. Wealth is the the big goal in life. And apathy is the symbol that we are sophisticated. In our world today, our God has been forgotten. His judgments are ignored, and the empty tomb is seen as an impossibility. But I'm here today, and I hope you are here today as well, to be reminded that the empty tomb is not an impossibility. Actually, it is the ultimate reality. For yes, I will admit, Jesus Christ was once dead. Jesus did once hang dead on that cross, having been crushed by the weight of our sins. Jesus Christ did die on that cross under the weight of God's judgment against our sins. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he burst forth from the grave to declare his victory over our sin, over our death, and over our enemy, the devil. 3 days later, Jesus burst forth from the grave to show each and every one of us personally that we have peace with God now. We have the full and free forgiveness of all of our sins and the sure and certain hope of everlasting life because, you see, he is risen. You better believe it. Jesus changes everything, even the so-called big things of life. In the town where my family used to live many years ago, There was a young boy, a neat kid, a student at the local Lutheran school, who suddenly and unexpectedly died of bacterial meningitis. Needless to say, the school and the town and the church were absolutely broken up over this tragic loss. And so, another neat young person, a graduate of the local Lutheran school, a high school junior by the name of Emily, wrote a poem to give us comfort and to inspire us to look beyond this tragedy. And the local newspaper, shockingly though it was, it printed this poem on the front page. Allow me now to read Emily's poem. She entitled it, Brandon's Poem. I know everybody misses me a lot right now, but of my new life, I have no complaints. I just can't seem to stop laughing and smiling while partying with the angels and the saints. Football and basketball games here are fun. Moses plays rough, but there's no pain. Ryan and Brent, when you arrive here, God has planned a special game. Dad, I'm sorry we missed all the things that you could have done with me, but I can't wait to have a father-son retreat for the rest of eternity. Jesus and I are always celebrating. The angels and I dance too. But you don't have to worry, Mom. I've saved a dance for you. So, don't spend so much time grieving. I'm having a terrific time. And when God takes you home and hugs you, I'll be waiting second in line. Tell me, my brothers and sisters in Christ, why did Emily write this poem? I'll tell you why. Because by the grace and the power of God the Holy Spirit, Emily had been brought to faith in the fantastic fact that Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes our sin into God's forgiveness. Jesus changes our punishment into God's acceptance of us. Jesus changes our death into His eternal life. He is risen. And because He is, Brandon and all of our loved ones whom we've had to say goodbye, they are alive at this very moment. Now, not only does Jesus change the so-called big things of life, He also changes the so-called little things of life. Pastor Ken Klaus, who is the past preacher of the Lutheran Hour and who was our guest speaker at our 125th congregational anniversary celebration a couple years ago, he once told the story of how the message of Jesus Christ changed someone who went on to join his church. It seems that this man had a reputation for being the town drunk. This man was known for taking his family's belongings down to the local pawn shop so he could get money to buy booze. And then some of the local Lutherans of the local Lutheran Church, Missouri City congregation, decided they wanted to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with him. And so they did. And he was changed. He became a good husband again, a good father, and a good employee at his workplace. And everything went really well for him until one of his co-workers decided he'd have a little public fun with him. And so one day, in front of all of his other workers, this man asked him, "You don't really believe that somebody's been dead for 3 days can come back to life, do you? You don't really believe that someone can take death and change it back into life, do you?" And the man thought for a moment, and then Then he said, I haven't read the Bible from cover to cover yet, and I don't know all the finer teachings of the Lutheran faith, but this one thing I do know, Jesus Christ changed booze back into furniture for my children, and if he can do that, he can change our death into his eternal life. He is risen. But is it really true? Can Jesus change everything? Can Jesus change my guilt into God's forgiveness? My mangled marriage into a right relationship? Can Jesus change my hopeless life into an eternal life? He can, he does, and he will, because you see, he is risen. To God alone be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all of our human understanding keep our hearts and minds in that one faith that leads to life everlasting. Amen.